hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years.
And as we approach the end of summer, it's episode 152 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Hot Zuby.
I mean, I know that we're actually not at, like, quite at the end of summer. We still got, like, a week, I think. Week or two. Like, Labor Day is traditional, right?
Yeah. It's traditionally the end of summer, but it feels end of summery.
It really does.
Yeah, the weather has been a little bit end of summery.
Yeah.
Up here. And
I'm sticking with it.
And the thing is, here, partly because, I mean, this is essentially a desert. Where I live, fall starts to, like, leaves begin to turn early. So I think just the water table cannot support the,
right,
you know, 100,000 plus hand planted trees in
the
city.
It's always interesting to me because, like, in Portland, leaves tend to turn a little early too. And it's just because we get so little rain usually.
Right.
So, like,
right.
July and August that,
yeah,
like, and just, the sun bakes it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, we're about to start, hopefully, our rainy season. We've been so low on rain this year. Like, we were, like, half.
Wow.
Or less than normal rain.
So it's
all
been
year,
hot and dry.
Yeah, and it hasn't even been that hot. It's actually been a really mild summer, but it's still just been dry, even for summer.
Huh.
So hopefully it turns and we get a nice, like, wet, gray winter and fall, because that's why I moved to Portland.
Right.
Anyway.
For the wet, gray.
So stuff and things. Let's see. We have Young Justice.
Yes.
Aired their last episode before the big three-part finale.
Ooh.
And this, like, again with the show just getting weirdly dark, but also having possibly the sweetest scene they've ever done.
Aw.
You've seen this the last episode?
I have seen the last episode,
are you caught up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm all caught up.
Because, yeah, you know, when they first break up into teams and they're like, you know, we have Alpha and Beta Squad again. And mm-hmm. Alpha Squad is pretty much the original team.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you knew that they were setting that up. And then, you know, Dick's Hallucinations, and they start playing the original music. And, you know, there's, like, Kid Flash is back. It was just, it was a moment.
Oh, hold on. The answer to this your question is, I don't think I have.
Oh, my goodness.
I think I must be a week behind.
Yeah, you must be then. I'm sorry.
Yikes, that's okay. That's all right.
So they did this thing. And, yeah, no, it was, like I said, it has, like, the sweetest scene ever in it. And, but it also does set up, like, the last few episodes are going to be huge and holy crap and just darker and bigger than anything they've done.
Wow. Okay, because the last I saw, like, you know, Halo is now sort of being, you know, there was promised that Halo was going to be used by Darkseid to,
right,
to set up the anti-life formula, which seems like a bad thing.
Yeah. But yeah, we do get, like, in this episode, at the very least, we do get the team and, you know, even people like Dick who haven't been on the team this whole season, really. But we get, like, a very much a call out to, like, Alpha and Beta Squad.
Hmm.
And, like, the traditional, like, first season Alpha and Beta Squads. Well, second season, I guess.
Oh, nice. Okay. Oh, okay. I really want to see
But, like, you suddenly realize, like, we haven't seen that original team, right? Like, you know, Ms. Martian and Aquaman now and Superboy and, like, you know, Artemis and Dick and all this. Like, we haven't seen them together, like, since this entire season. It just hasn't
pretty much
yet.
Yeah, they've all got their own, you know, duties to take care of. They're all kind of atomized.
Right.
Yeah, all this is great. So I mean, so I guess we're going to get a good old-fashioned team up for the three-part.
In a way that you don't see coming.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It gets weird. But there was also, speaking of getting weird, there was also a Killjoys episode.
There was a Killjoys, and I remember the last time we talked about this, and I said, are they ever going to get off the ship? And you said, what they'll do is they'll use the chips. And I said, well, they'll use this. And I'm like, no, we're both wrong. They're just going to, they've got the ship now. They're not getting off the ship. They have a new ship, essentially.
Right.
Which I didn't see that coming.
No. No, well played. It was that was the thing. I also, I, you know, the whole fancy bit.
Yeah.
Am I a scientist too? That makes sense. I feel smart.
I feel smart. Yes, I love that. And
oh, he does not get to do comedy enough.
I agree. Yeah, Sean Bake should be able to flex his comedic chops more often.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he needs to start, you know, going in musical theater and in, you know, musical comedies on Broadway, but
although, you know, hey, go for it.
Why not? Why not? I'd lay down some money for a one man.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I'd buy that for a dollar. Yeah, exactly. Excuse me while I sip some coffee.
Yeah.
It's the sponsor for this week's episode.
Ooh, coffee.
Coffee. Although, if the entity, the abstract entity of coffee, really was sponsoring the episode, I don't think it would be into being consumed by humans. It would probably want to be left alone.
It might be, though. You don't know. Maybe that's like coffee's old jam.
It might be a little bit of restaurant at the end of the universe silliness going on with coffee.
Right.
Yeah. Who knows?
I'd believe it.
I believe it, too.
But yeah, no, they're definitely setting stuff up, and you know, they're still, because it's Killjoys, even though they're moving at 90 miles an hour as always, they're still finding a lot of time for a lot of great just interpersonal work, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, Dutch and Johnny and
mm-hmm.
Anila and Kendry, you know, it's like they just
yes.
They find all that, and that was,
they also found a way to like move Jack off stage, which was good.
Yeah, because he hasn't had anything to do, because, yeah.
I mean, it's
he's
always
important, but
he's important, but I mean, as a, I mean, he is sort of important to the overall sort of, like, storyline, but as a character, I don't care. I was thinking, please do not waste a bunch of time on Jack, because he's really not who we're interested in.
Right, well, we haven't had enough time with him, and there's no time to build that, right?
Bingo, yeah. So, put him in a cube, send him away somewhere safe.
Sure. And he'll come back at the end, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine there being, like, a... I mean, he still has to, like, reunite with Davin and whatnot.
Right. There is also now the mystery, of course, of Anila still being Hullin, even though
yes.
the green has been destroyed.
Right.
Is there something, yet again, completely weird going on here?
Yes. Who knows?
That I'm sure in no way will play into things. Don't be ridiculous.
That's, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's just some random stuff they're doing. I'm sure they'll just forget about it.
Trying to think what else happened. Oh, there was some Legends, very sad Legends news, of course.
Oh, yes. Courtney Palmer and, of course, Brandon Routh are well, they're not leaving the show, but they're not going to be series regulars. So, they're leaving the show. Yes, I guess.
Yeah.
Which,
and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't his choice. It was they found an end to their arc, which is a little weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they just said, "Look, Brandon, you're not handsome or charismatic enough for Legends of Tomorrow."
Well, I mean, I think part of it is, frankly, that given the hints of season 5, where they've already mentioned like the Time Bureau is gone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Chances are we're now going to have Ava on the ship all the time. We're going to have Gary, and we're still going to have Mona around.
Right.
And it is, I mean, it's something the show does, right? Like, they keep adding characters, and like, we have to remove a few.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just ever rotating cast, which is actually, I mean, I admire them for being willing to do that. I mean, most shows
yeah.
just don't change course, or they won't change their cast, and they live and die by that, and they die. So.
It reminds me a little bit of the British Being Human.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, they had their entire cast swapped out by the end.
Right. I mean, and again, like the way they did it was so beautiful that like they swapped out like one person at a time, and always gave you time to kind of get on the side of the new kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they were, you know, firmly there and could no longer be considered the new kid, it's like, okay, well, now here's someone else.
Yeah.
So they just kind of slowly replace the entire cast so that, like, you notice, but you don't quite notice, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's they did something similar in there's another British show, as a supernatural horror show called Hex, with Michael Fassbender, of all the people before he was before he was well known. And they had, I think they'd sort of originally conceived it as kind of sort of a British Buffy, because they had sort of a blonde demon killing girl who was having an ambiguous relationship with a demonic figure played by Fassbender, and doing a better job than David Boreanaz, frankly, playing that kind of character. And then in episode 8, apparently the actress wasn't pleased with working conditions on the show. They killed her off, like, completely unexpectedly. And then a lot of the sort of minor characters just suddenly became main characters out of almost nowhere. And the entire tone of the show changed to being this, like, really weird, almost Hammer horror, gothic 70s era show. And it was a very... And then it ended sort of on this odd cliffhanger where it seemed that the entire school had become like a bunch of Satan worshippers. It was a
okay
show.
Though.
Yeah. Just worth watching for the sheer weirdness and willingness of everybody involved to just change course at least twice.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's cool when shows can pull that off. Like, I do think it's interesting that the longer Legends goes, the more they move out characters from the comics, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they're just like, we don't even care about superheroes. Like, we just like our characters that just fit in what we're doing.
Yeah. That's
and that's fine. I mean,
that's
more than fine. Like, you know, rock on, right? Do it. But it is just kind of interesting to me that's a move they've kind of been making.
Oh, yeah.
And they're great characters, but, like, it's just, huh.
And here I was thinking they would never recover from getting rid of Hawkgirl and Hawkeye.
Have they, though?
maybe they should bring them back somehow. I mean, they really provided
oh,
that
God.
Spark.
Watch them show up in Crisis now.
Oh, shit. That would be unfortunate, but kind of, I'm sure if they do, Legends would find a properly enjoyable way to deal with it.
Yeah. One hopes.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, you too. Yeah, things are a little different around the ship now.
Right. but yeah, no, we only have two, technically three, I guess, characters from the first season now. Once you know, Ray leaves us.
Right.
You know, it's Sarah and Mick and, well, Gideon.
Oh, of course. I didn't think of Gideon.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting. That's going to be a little bittersweet. Like, how much longer, I wonder, is Legends going to go? Do we have any?
Well, that's
notion?
The thing too. It's like I feel like most of these shows are going to end around season 6 or 7 anyway.
Yeah.
If they lose Ray in the middle of season 5, like it'll be after Crisis. Like maybe they don't even get a season 6. Maybe they do.
Hard to say. Well, I am looking forward. I'm looking forward to it. And of course, there's one more. We've got one trailer popped up for the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It indeed does take place in the 30s, as far as we can tell. And there's a.
Okay.
It's and as far as I can tell from the trailer, it's mostly it's mostly going to be concerned with. Chromacons chasing them around and making
that,
their life
I mean, that's
difficult.
About what we thought.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm sure there's plenty more that will be revealed.
Sure, but you know, it sounds like it's gonna be a good season.
Yeah, and we've got a Coulson or a LMD Coulson walking around. So
right,
and they did. I don't think they had any footage of that we hadn't already seen from the season finale. So they wisely held that back. So yeah. But from the judging from the look of the footage, it seems like they've basically said, okay, all bets are off. We're gonna give this show a proper send off. So let's spend some time with the look of the show and you know, just give it the spectacle it deserves.
That makes me happy.
Yes. Oh, and speaking of trailers, I'm not sure if you saw this, but the trailer for The Mandalorian is out.
Yes, yeah, so Captain Corelli's Mandalorian.
the only reason
I haven't
watched it. I watched it for one reason only, just in case Werner Herzog had any lines.
And he does have a line, right?
Of course, yeah, he just says, being a bounty hunter is a complicated business, isn't it? And that's it.
Someone mentioned that, like, whenever they hear Herzog now, they always add Captain America to the end, just because Hugo Weaving did a Herzog voice for Red Skull.
Oh my God, you're right. That never occurred to me.
Yeah. So now I'm trapped into it, and life is delightful. They, of course, also announced 3 more shows and a bunch of details about the other Disney Plus Marvel shows. You know, but we're getting some form of She-Hulk, Moon Knight, and Ms. Marvel.
Yes, I'm on board with all of these things. Also on board with angry dudes who don't seem to know the comics, being upset about his She-Hulk.
Yes.
Like, Marvel is going in the wrong direction. Yeah, well, thanks, dipshits.
I have a little bit of concern from She-Hulk, just because one person who was there in their reporting, it's the only time I saw it, but they mentioned that the music when they did the She-Hulk logo was kind of horror-themed, and I'm like, oh God, are we going like Savage She-Hulk?
Ooh.
Instead of like fun lawyer She-Hulk? And I'm like, just, you know, there's one of these people want, and don't do the wrong one.
No, exactly. There's the lawyer She-Hulk stuff was great. I mean, that's the She-Hulk that I particularly appreciate.
That everyone wants, you know. And of course, like, there are even more characters showing up in the WandaVision show. This show is confusing me at this point.
I think this from what I've heard, the trailer they showed spliced up like 50 like I Love Lucy footage with the I'm all for that.
Yeah, I don't even know what the show's supposed to be. I want to find out, but I'm just like, what are they even doing? And apparently over in Eternals, they cast someone to play Dane Whitman, who is the Black Knight, because that makes sense for no reason at all.
I think it's supposed to be Kit Harington. This is the
yes,
rumor.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Very much officially. He is Black Knight, Dane Whitman. Oh. But again, it just makes no sense to me. I'm just like, what? That character has nothing to do with anything. What are we doing? But it does bring up all the Marvel TV show stuff. Brings up an interesting thing for me.
What's that?
They're pushing hard to try to get a lot of subscribers, obviously, at launch in November.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And so they're like, look at all these TV shows, like these 7 TV shows. Okay, first of all, the Loki show is 6 episodes. Second of all, this is 7 TV shows that you're announcing for Marvel over 3 years.
Right.
None of them are going to overlap. All of them will be 6 to 8 episodes max. Like, it's not that they're not going to be fun and worth watching, but they are making it sound like you're going to have these great, like, this huge slate of programming. It's like, are you, though?
They'll have some...
And I'm sure that, like, once you add in their other originals, and, you know, like, the Jeff Goldblum show looks amazing, if you saw that trailer.
No. What's this?
Oh, yeah. They have a... What's it called? Oh, hold on. They basically gave Jeff Goldblum his own show called The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, my God.
And it is just Jeff Goldblum going around, like, learning about stuff that interests him.
Sure.
Like sneakers and jewelry.
Sure.
And watch the trailer for it, because it, honest to God, is just, it looks like the best show you've never seen. Like, I don't know how else to describe it.
Okay.
But it's just sheer magic of, they just basically gave Jeff Goldblum a budget and a camera and were like, I don't know, go talk to people. Like, you like sneakers? Go talk about fucking sneakers. With, like, some people who make sneakers, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. Fuck you. You're Jeff Goldblum. And that's the show.
Nice. Yeah, and like, I'm picturing the pitch. 2 words, yeah. Jeff Goldblum.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like the show that, like, if he was still alive, that they give Anthony Bourdain.
That's kind of what I was thinking when you were talking about this, yeah.
So, yeah, and again, I'm here for it, but it's just, like I said, I'm sure that they'll have a bunch of other stuff that's interesting. None of it will be their quote-unquote live action. I hate it that they're calling these things live action. Because they're all just CG. None of it will be their Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, that's
live action remake that will show up on that thing.
So,
but yeah, I mean, there'll be a bunch of Star Wars shows. I am curious about the Obi-Wan Star Wars show because either it's seasons of this one idiot hiding in a cave, or he goes out and does interesting stuff, which means he's really, really bad at doing what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, there is no way the show is anything other than watch this idiot. And they're going to try to spin it as, like, it's all these cool adventures he gets into. But I'm like, wasn't his job just to protect this kid and, like, watch over him?
Pretty much.
How's he doing that from, you know, light years away?
Like, maybe we will see him going down to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Like, I really do just want the entire show just to be, like, him in a cave, sitting around. Also, I mean, you do figure that he has to have had a hard time of it. Because it took him about 18 years to age from Ewan McGregor to Alec Guinness.
Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow for anyone. I mean, he's
right.
Look at Yoda. I figure that being a Jedi Knight like gives you all these awesome powers, but then it like just ages you horribly, so you look ancient at like 60, and then you get to look that way and worse for the next 900 years.
Huh. There's a selling point.
you'll be able
join
to
the
move
Jedi,
stuff around.
Age prematurely, yet live forever.
Yet live forever. Live long and ugly.
Yeah. Oh, God. And, of course, you know, the whole
very,
Spider-Man...
Very bad, good for power, bad for Tinder. Anyway.
Nice. Yes. The whole Spider-Man thing, of course, which I was just amazed at how well Disney... Because
yeah.
Obviously Disney was behind this. How well they played public perception on that.
Yeah.
Because you know the original deal, right?
Yes.
And the history of it. Like, because Disney originally suggested that they split the movie proceeds 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they'd pay for... Sony will pay for production of the movie. Disney would get half of the money from the movie. And Disney gets all the merchandising money. And Disney, and Sony at the time was like, fuck you.
Right, of course.
And then Marvel came back and was like, okay... Take 90% of the movie. We'll take all the merchandising, and you pay for the movie.
See, this seems like a pretty good deal for everybody concerned, because the merchandising probably reaps gigantic amounts, right?
Right.
So, you have cash.
And then, suddenly,
they're like,
it starts
hey.
To come under negotiation again, and Disney goes, so here's an idea. We'll split the movie profits 50-50. And it's like, we started there, and we said no.
Yeah.
But Disney managed to spin it, so that everyone was turning against Sony somehow.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Which is bizarre, but yeah, seeing the sort of level of like, sort of nonsense in on social media and in some articles, I'm like, do you just reflexively like Disney now, and you just you know just want to pile on Sony because Sony hasn't given you the MCU,
right? Well, I mean, I think that's it, right? Like, you know, Sony didn't give it wasn't until they worked with Marvel and they had Feige kind of spearheading it. That we end up with a Spider-Man movie that people genuinely liked. I'm sorry. I know people now are just like... I saw somebody who was like, you know, the Spider-Verse was good, but it was no Tobey Maguire. Like,
what?
First of all, anyone who is now going like, oh, I love the Tobey Maguire movies, was obviously 8 when they saw them and hasn't looked at them since.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I still like Spider-Man 2. Still like that one.
We're not going there. and I know a lot of people do. You know, that's fine. People like what they like, but I
haven't seen it in, you know, in a good 20 years or however long.
And
so.
Again, like, even if it's still great for you, it's still one of these, like, everyone does kind of love the new stuff more, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so I think there was that instant blaming of Sony for the, but you're taking our candy away.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
And it's like, sure, but Disney was trying to, like, bend them over a desk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sony has to protect itself. Like, you don't just get what you want. And just the people, what was freaking me out were the people who were like, oh, well, Marvel should just buy Sony. Like, no, stop. Like, stop thinking this is a good thing. You know,
yes.
Just like the, let's have Disney own everything. Like, that's not healthy. It's frightening, frankly. I don't like it.
Me neither.
No, sir.
No, sir. I don't like it. There's a well, not a deep cut, but there's something from the past.
Yeah.
For y'all.
I have.
For you, Frank, a little something from Ren and Stimpy.
But yeah, and of course, like the thing is, like Sony's gonna have the Spider-Man movie stuff. And here's the joke of it: is if they go ahead with their Spider-Man movie, Marvel will still get the merchandising.
Yep.
Sony will just get that extra like 10%, and it won't be part of the MCU. Like that's all that changes. Is it won't be like they won't be able to say Iron Man. I personally hope that they use like knockoff names.
That would
like, Peter gets into trouble and he's like, and someone with him is like, shouldn't you call like Gleeful Hogan? Isn't your mentor Metal Guy around? You know,
I would love that. And to be honest, I did not like the sort of Peter Parker as Tony's sort of heir. Move they do in Far From Home that just did not seem like a Spider-Man move to me.
Well, I like that they kind of head faked. They started to move toward it, and then by the end of it, they were like, "No, he's Spider-Man."
Yeah,
like it feels like they figured it out by the end. But yeah, they definitely kind of lurched toward that wrong.
And I'm not. Yeah, I was like, maybe don't need that.
But yeah, it's like we're still gonna have Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Right now, John Watts is still supposed to come back and direct the third one. It just won't be part of the MCU.
Right. Do we still get... What I want to know is, do we still get Zendaya as Mary Jane? Because I loved her in that one. Especially in Far
Do we
From
still
Home.
Get what?
Zendaya as Mary Jane.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, the cast isn't supposed to change.
Oh, there you go. I don't care. Yeah. I'm fine with it.
Like, right now, like, the director isn't supposed to change. The only thing that changes is they won't be part of the MCU and Feige won't have any input.
Right, and he'll get to fight Venom if he wants. So, everybody shut up.
Which is going to be weird since the Venom movie set up Venom as a good guy.
Yeah, he'll probably be in conflict with Venom, but I mean, there's what's-his-nuts, there's Carnage and so on to worry about.
Someone pointed out that, like, it's one of these, like, you know, the Venom movie sets up Venom as, like, here's this guy who saves the world. And then next movie, now he hunts down this random teenager he's never met before. Like, what? How are you going to sell that?
Hey, Tom, I know you wanted to be a hero, but how about, hey, it'll be Tom Hardy versus Tom Holland. The British Toms. Yeah. The British Toms are together again.
I like it.
Spider-Man meets Venom. See if we can find the other British Toms to throw in there.
Why not? There have to be more, right?
There have to be more. I know there are more. But anyway, yeah. No, I mean, I'll watch it. I'll watch another Spider-Man. Actually, and after watching Into the Spider-Verse, I'm pretty sure that Sony's got the, like, the whole Spider-Man thing down. I'll watch all those sequels and whatnots. No problem.
Yeah. And hysterically, by the way.
Ooh. Yes.
Disney Junior will have a new show in 2021 called Marvel's Spidey and His Amazing Friends.
Oh.
Which will be a young version of Peter Parker teaming up with Gwen Stacy and Miles. And also, like, random other, like, heroes like Ms. Marvel and Black Panther and Hulk and all this, as they work to, you know, defeat evil forces. It'll be geared towards, like, preschoolers, though.
Oh, cute.
But Marvel will be doing that.
So they'll have...
Not Sony.
Okay. So they'll have some... I don't know how that's going to work, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know where the right splits are just so weird on this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
No one knows except for, like, two lawyers, and you got to pay them, like, $400 an hour to find out.
Exactly. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend $400 on that, or no. $10,000 or however much they might charge. Yes, I mean, we could just kill intellectual property altogether, and just throw everything out there. But
well, if it wasn't for Disney itself pushing copyright back for decades now.
Yep.
Oh, good times.
Yeah. And yeah, people forget that. I mean, for all these sort of like great sort of bits of entertainment they like to throw us, they're just also a rapacious machine of greed and manipulation of our desires. So, anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, so there's also you saw something that I forget now.
I sure did. I saw, well, I saw the first two episodes of On Becoming a God in Central Florida
Yes, that's what it was,
with
which I've been
Kristen
curious
Bell.
about.
I really, these first two episodes I watched, I really enjoyed.
Okay.
I really like Dunst's sort of character. You forget how good she is. I mean, she sort of, I mean, she doesn't, appear in as many things as once she did.
She's never flashy about it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But when she does, so you sort of mentally, I think people kind of file her away in the same cabinet as, like, I don't know, Kate Hudson, for example. Or they remember her from like Spider-Man or whatnot.
Right.
But when you actually look at her output, you realize she's actually a really fine actor. And in this one, she seems to be. Did you ever see the movie? I think it was might have been the movie Drop Dead Gorgeous. Let me see if that's the one I'm thinking of. Anyway, if it is the one I'm thinking of, it sort of takes place in a similar sort of milieu as On Becoming a God in
Gotcha.
Central Florida, and I think also has Kirsten Dunst in it. Do-do-do, there we go.
Okay.
Anywho, for God's sake, sorry, it's hard, for some reason my browser is being slow, so I try to click on something. I'm trying to click on Kirsten Dunst's list of credits, and instead I'm getting a Huggies ad because freaking Web 2.0 was trying
Right.
to screw with me. Anyway, I won't. I will. I will stop. I'll stop on that. She was also in the most recent season of Fargo, and she was fantastic in that as well. So yes.
Nice.
So On Becoming a God in Central Florida takes place in the early to mid 90s, and it takes aim at so at Amway. There's the company is called Founders of America, or FAM, and it's a multi-level
Right.
marketing scheme. And Dunst's husband, played by Scar, what's his face, Stellan Skarsgård, whomever, I can never remember his name. Is in on this scheme, and he's working himself to the bone. And I will, at the risk of spoiling it, it's not much of a spoiler, I think. He dies in the first episode. Alexander Skarsgård, that's the one. He dies in the first episode, and she is left with all of his debts, which are far greater than he has let on. And she's also left with his business and has to suddenly become a multi-level marketing sort of success in order to keep her home and keep her family together. And this is
Gotcha.
the trajectory of the show. I think the satirical target is it's pretty easy. Like making fun of multi-level marketing scams is not tough, frankly. And as fun as
Right.
it is to watch them do this, it's like you're not going to get. There's only so much you're going to get out of that because, we all know that
Yeah.
Amway is hilarious, and the struggle to sell Amway is this sort of horrific sort of like view into like, American capitalism as just pure scam and manipulation. So, we get it
Right.
essentially, but yes, it's but she does a great job, and it looks like. Just from the first two episodes, I am hooked. I'm in for the
Nice.
next date. So that's my pick of the week.
That sounds awesome.
It is. Also, it has Beth Ditto, the lead singer of The Gossip, as one of the characters. So
Huh.
I don't know. I just thought that was cool. I'm like, hey, it's Beth Ditto.
Yeah, that
Yeah,
is cool.
yeah. Oh, and Julie Benz pops up here and there, which is also kind of cool.
That is also very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching a bunch of Elementary, as I discussed last week.
Yes.
And I already see why I had left the show before where I am last time.
I get it. I get it.
Like I understand what I why I was like, "Nah." But I don't know, like I this time like I'm kind of more into it in that The joy of the show for me really is just watching Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu bounce off each other. The actual mysteries are bullshit mystery of the week things.
Sure.
And that once you kind of ignore that this is supposed to be Sherlock Holmes, because it's very much not my like preferred version of Sherlock Holmes.
Fair enough.
But you're just like, okay, he's like a like a, an interesting kind of what if Sherlock Holmes was human. And it's just it's a fun like you can kind of half watch the show and enjoy the hell out of it, and watch those two characters grow and change, and you don't care about who killed who this week on a train platform.
Gotcha. Oh, now I want to know. I want to know who killed who.
But like it also does have like I said, like already like there's just yeah I'm kind of pulling along in the station with it. It has a few things that most Sherlock shows don't do, and I think it's interesting, right? Like, here's a Sherlock who's actively trying to train Watson to be a detective.
Oh, that is.
And it's starting to send her off on her own cases.
Huh.
Like, treating her more like an equal.
See, that's fascinating. That makes
Right.
That's a little more sort of, that's a nice little spin on the usual Holmes and Watson dynamic.
Exactly.
I
really like that.
Huh. It's like late 80s Doctor Who, where the Doctor was sort of possibly training Ace to become a Time Lord, or at least in that frame, in that part of Doctor Who, I maybe humans could become Time Lords. But anyway.
Sure, why not?
Sure, why not?
But yeah, no, it ends up being a very interesting take on Sherlock. And again, like this Sherlock being a recovering addict. But, you know, actually going to AA meetings and, like, you know, trying to be human again. Like, it's an interesting take on Sherlock. It's still not my preferred take on Sherlock.
Fair enough.
But it is at least, like character-wise, it's an interesting show, which is all you can really ask for, right?
So what is your preferred take on Sherlock?
Somewhere between the Moffat thing and less Moffat-y.
Fair enough.
Just that kind of the distant, almost cold, almost inhuman, like doesn't get humanity at all, Sherlock.
Mm-hmm.
Who is just kind of he's missing a connection in his head somewhere. So he's very good at this stuff, but he doesn't quite have that human end of it at all, and that's sort of what Watson will bring to it.
Hmm.
Yeah, and again, like I do like the mysteries to be like the books, right? Like the stories, like just intricate and weird and all. So I think my preferred version of Sherlock is actually the originals.
That makes sense. I'm
there hasn't been an adaptation that kind of has wrapped up everything I want in a Sherlock. And like I said, Moffat comes close occasionally. But, yeah.
But he doesn't really get there. We'll all agree until we, you know, meet Euron, his sister.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to bring up
painful
memories.
No, you're not.
I'm not at all. Not in the least.
But you know, otherwise, like I said, I don't know. I think this week has also just been another slow week. It's again summer.
It is summer.
I'm hoping to go next week and see some kind of movie. I don't know if I'm going to go see Hobbs and Shaw again because I have a friend who didn't get to see it.
Right.
But I also do want to see Ready or Not and Dora.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm definitely going to see Ready or Not. I think that's on my list. I was actually hoping to catch it before our podcast, but I had my D&D game yesterday, and that.
I also want to catch Born to Run.
Oh, the Springsteen soundtrack. This is a weird little subgenre that's popped up lately.
It's movies written by people who were inspired by other people. I kind of love it as a genre.
Yeah. Yep. And also, like, we have the rights to all this music. Let's use it.
Well, there's that too.
So it's a little bit of a mix. I made that joke with my with Alan's uncle who had just seen yesterday. And he was like, "Oh, I love it! I love the Beatles. You'll love the movie." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's the movie where they got the rights to the Beatles music." And they're like, he's like, what? And I just, so then I just went through like an explanation of intellectual property law, and it was just like the most painful sort of like, whoops, I just made the wrong joke to the wrong person thing. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah. But I'm like, he's like probably thinking I'm just some butthead.
Right. He's like, shut up. Let me just like the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, please, and I'm talking and I'm like, please let me stop talking. Please let me stop describing.
But you're locked in and that's just all you got. Yeah,
exactly. I'm like, well, you know, we'll finish this bit of the conversation and then in 20 minutes, maybe we'll forget and move on.
Uh-huh.
So that was,
Family. But yeah, I think we can have another shorter episode if you'd like.
Sure. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do.
Cue some music. You know, better to end early than just kind of ramble incoherently, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, or better to ramble incoherently for 45 minutes as opposed to an hour.
Right.
I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So
let's put a bow on this thing. Woo!